Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm back in the studio with Anya. Welcome, Anya. Thanks so much for being here. Everybody is, of course, welcome to join the conversation today, 844-967-2789. We got our phone lines up. Things are working. How exciting. But I did want to sort of almost take a moment to do a congratulatory pat on my back, because despite some of the challenges we had on Monday, one of the things that I talked about at some length was the fact that we need to be much, much, much more afraid about the Trump 2024 campaign, that there is so much more damage that could potentially be done if he wins. And I talked about this in terms of the fact that he never thought he was going to win in 16. So the GOP and Trump himself were utterly unprepared. They didn't have an infrastructure ready. They didn't have organized lists of potential appointees. They hadn't developed a cogent theory of how they were going to approach many of these issues. They basically just had Trump being Trump. So when they won, they were caught very flat-footed. And you saw some of that play out in those early months, and even, I would argue, first year plus of the Trump presidency. You saw some appointments of folks that were downright embarrassing, just really terrible performance. Spent a long time way back when on Resistance Radio talking about his disastrous appointment to become the head of the EPA. But all that is now prologue. All that was learning opportunity for Donald Trump. He is very much actively and publicly talking about how he would centralize power, how he would install loyalists. And we know what loyalty means to Donald Trump, not loyalty to an idea or a value or a principle, or even, dare I say, our Constitution, rather loyalty to the man, the person, regardless of how anti-democratic, cruel, heartless, and unconstitutional his acts may be. So they're now very much getting ready for this. They also have a tool, a Manchurian candidate, if you will, a man willing to do basically anything, say and do anything to amass power. This is all out in the open. They are not hiding this. And later that afternoon, just after we had talked about this on our show on Monday, the New York Times published a lengthy, I don't know if you can see this with my green screen, maybe if I go this way, which way does the paper appear as a head? There we go. A lengthy article, and here was the title: Trump and Allies Forge Plans to Increase Presidential Power in 2025. So I wanted to take, today is all Trump all day long. That's all I'm going to talk about. So many things have happened. But this, my friends, this idea, this is the point. Everything that is going on boils down to one single fundamental question. Where do you stand when it comes to protecting democracy as a system? A system that is our method of government. Where do you stand on supporting institutions, on keeping politics out of institutions, out of the administrative state? And we're going to talk about all these things. For every syllable that Republicans are saying now on the Hill about the weaponization of the Department of Justice, it is belied by what Trump and his allies are saying publicly about what they would do in 2025. In other words, both things can't be true at the same time. Here's what I mean. Trump is defending the criminal charges against him, the most serious of which are yet to come, likely next week. in Jack Smith's January 6th investigation. Trump and his co-conspirator apologists and loyalists on Capitol Hill are saying this is a perversion of the Department of Justice. Joe Biden is weaponizing and interfering with these investigations to persecute his number one political opponent. But here's what's actually happening in the GOP. They are mercilessly pursuing a legal theory called the unitary executive. That is two fancy words that mean together nearly untrammeled presidential power that the president should and can and will, they are saying. Donald Trump as president can, should, and will politicize not just the Department of Justice, but every single federal agency, including the independent ones. I want to emphasize this again. The very rationale or attack line that Trump and his co-conspirator apologists on Capitol Hill are using is that Joe Biden is improperly weaponizing and politicizing the Department of Justice to persecute a political foe. But everywhere else in public, Trump and his co-conspirators for his next administration are talking about how they're going to weaponize and politicize the Department of Justice and every other federal agency to persecute Donald Trump's opponents and install usurping the authority of Congress and the courts, whatever policies Donald Trump thinks are good by fiat, by authoritarian fiat. Do you get my point here? It's all out in the open. There are three main elements of what they are saying they are going to do in this concept of unitary executive. The first is to bring independent agencies like the Federal Communications Commission, the Federal Reserve, under direct executive branch control. He can hire and fire all of their top-level leadership at whim. These are the agencies that many of which are basically the agencies that protect regular middle-class working families. Try to ensure air and water is clean, that we're not getting gouged, cheated in commercial transactions, that the economy, though sometimes we go through painful cycles, continues decade after decade to expand. We can argue about whether they work well, but the idea that the president shouldn't just be able to unilaterally demand personal fealty from the folks that run these places has always been part of our understanding of how government should work. The second thing, he wants to revive a practice made illegal after Richard Nixon. It's called impounding funds. Nice little fancy term. What does it mean? It means Congress appropriates money and says this is the law and this is how you spend the money because the legislature has the power of the purse. And the president says, no, screw you. I won't do that. I just won't spend it because I don't agree with it. That's interesting. And third, what he wants to do is basically get rid of the entire federal civil service. Civil servants, if you are under civil service rules, can't be fired at will. You have to have cause to fire folks. Yeah, he wants to get rid of that. He also plans to scour, quote unquote, the intelligence agencies, the State Department, and defense bureaucracies to remove officials he has vilified as the, quote, sick political class that hates our country. So this is the choice. He's telling you out loud, his legal advisors, it's basically a group of think tanks largely headed up by the Heritage Foundation with tens of millions of dollars. And all they're doing is sitting around with lawyers and policy wonks coming up with executive orders and legal theories to basically permit Donald Trump, were he to win in 2024, to control the entire apparatus of the federal government per his whim, literally unchecked. This The president's plan should be to fundamentally reorient the federal government in a way that hasn't been done since FDR's New Deal, said John McAtee, a former White House personnel chief who began Trump's systematic attempt to sweep out officials deemed to be disloyal in 2020 and who is now involved in mapping out the new approach. Our current executive branch, Mr. McAtee added, was conceived of by liberals for the purpose of promulgating liberal policies. There's no way to make the existing structure function in a conservative manner. It's not enough to get the personnel right. What's necessary is a complete system overhaul. You mean system overthrow, don't you, sir? What we're trying to do is identify the pockets of independence and seize them, said Russell T. Voigt, who ran the Office of Management and Budget in the Trump White House and now runs a policy organization, the Center for Renewing America. We mean to plant a flag, both to shift the debate and later to be able to claim a mandate. Wow. Wow. Again, the New York Times reporting the Heritage Foundation has devoted $22 million to a presidential transition operation. They are working on plans with the Trump campaign to expand presidential power. The article goes on. Keep in mind, you have John Kelly saying at the same time all of this is coming out, he's saying this would be chaotic. This from Donald Trump's former chief of staff, who called him one of the most despicable people he's ever met. Yeah, I think we should give that guy untrammeled control, unchecked power over the entire apparatus of the federal government. And oh, by the way, endorse him going after his political opponent. Does not hold. I'm going to move on. When we get back, we're going to be talking about the timing of the documents, national security case, and of course, the upcoming January 6th indictment. Strap in, folks. It's the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Do not delay. Go get that app. Makes life so much easier. You can join us 844-967-2789. Callers, I see you. Just want to make a couple more points, and I'm going to take some calls from the phone. Then I'm going to dismantle all the mumbo jumbo happening in the national security documents case. Then I'm going to break down what will be the charges. Some reporting coming from Rolling Stone, confirmed by ABC today. What will be the charges in the Donald Trump insurrection case? Here's Kevin Roberts, the president of the Heritage Foundation, saying it out loud, okay? This is in an interview. Quote, the notion of independent federal agencies or federal employees who don't answer to the president violates the very foundation of our democratic republic. Huh? What? He has publicly stated that the contributors to Project 2025 are committed to, quote, dismantling this rogue administrative state. Trump has said on more than one occasion, I have Article 2 power where I have the right to do whatever I want as president. Holy crap. Really? Fundamentally, there's an element of that argument in how he's going to try to defend the January 6th indictment. It couldn't have been a crime because I was the president when I did it, and so it's fine. But we are a nation of laws, not men and women, or so we all thought. If you're not familiar with this, a lot of this stuff came out post-Nixon because of the corruption in his administration, and Congress has twice, back in the 30s and once, I believe, in the last time in the late 80s, issued rulings preventing executive branch officials from basically being fired without cause. But of course, these Supreme Court justices seemed much more inclined to autocracy. So this is where we're at. It is just impossible to square the manner in which Donald Trump is defending himself when he's arguing that he should be able to do the very thing that he's deriding in order to avoid criminal responsibility for his acts and words. Let's go to the phones. Joanne, you are up on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you? Isn't the 2024 election a much more scary prospect than what we thought we were getting into potentially in 2016?
Right. I'm really frightened, and I'm especially concerned about what's going to be happening to education, because even though Trump says that he's going to be dismantling the Department of Education, Reagan did too, and that he appointed William Bennett to the Department of Education, and we have this expanded DOE that we have right now. What I'm worried about is not just the student loan situation. I mean, you could forget getting rid of student loans, forgiving student loans in the Trump, the new Trump administration, Trump 2.0, son of
right.
Trump. Yeah, you can forget that. But also the micromanagement of schools and the removal of any type of diversity and equity considerations of the schools. Lots of scary stuff that can happen if there's this notion of the unified executive that you so wonderfully have explained. So again, I'm so scared I'm going to go sit in a corner and put my head over my hands over my head. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Joanne. I'll be there in the corner with you, but at least we can commiserate amongst ourselves. She hit on a couple of really, really important things. First of all, the nascency, or where we started to see this catalyst towards the unitary executive theory, it's always kind of been bandied about. But again, courts and Congress have acted to effectively check that back, but it really became part of the nouveau conservative think speak in the Reagan era, as Joanne so aptly pointed out. And in fact, the Department of Education comes up so frequently in discussions and lists of the departments to dismantle, probably just as frequently either dismantle or seize complete unilateral control over, you know, in a unitary executive, just as frequently as the Fed, the Federal Reserve. Why? Obviously, it's because providing really good free education with robust teaching of history and political science, that becomes a problem for conservatives. Because you look at the way that America's been functioning since the 50s, and you cannot defend the fact that there are fewer people in the middle class and that they're taxed heavier in a heavier way, more heavily. Let's not make up words on the radio. Than the richest people in our country are. The other thing that Joanne was pointing towards, which I think bears emphasis, is what's lurking behind this. It is substituting people with technical expertise for politically derived agendas when it comes to making the rules and enforcing the laws that protect regular folks every day. Clean air, clean water, all those things. You have likely heard me say, and I'll say it again here, I am proud to be a technocrat. I'm proud to be a bureaucrat because I bring my independence and my expertise to the table, and it is with that I provide advice to elected officials. Can you imagine if I was effectively subject to removal at whim? I would have to give my advice only if it suited the political ends of the person who appointed me. Does anybody really think that leads to better outcomes? I certainly don't. All right. We'll take these next calls when we come back. We want to hear also from you, 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I can't excuse your behavior.
my hands is tracking. If our love ends, would that be a bad thing? And the silence haunts our bedchamber. You make me do too much labor.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can join our conversation this afternoon. All things scary yet to come. The worst is yet to come with Donald Trump. It's impossible. It should be impossible, I should say, for the president and his apologists on Capitol Hill to attack Joe Biden for politicizing the FBI and the DOJ when Donald Trump, out of the other side of his mouth, is proclaiming that that is precisely what he intends to do. But I think, as I've always said, here in these United States, criminal charges are borne out in court when evidence is tested and people are put under oath. And we're about to see that in spades. In both the national security documents case and the Trump insurrection case. And what's even scarier about this is that his strategy in the national security documents case is to delay that sucker as long as is humanly possible so that he can become president and pardon himself. That's what the strategy is. And oh, lo and behold, we've got the court documents to prove it. Before I break those down for everybody, let's take a few callers. Pat, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you? Welcome.
Well, good afternoon, Ms. Dawn. It's a pleasure to be able to call in. I saw PBS this weekend, and they had a broadcast about World War II, and specifically the Nazi rise to power. And part of their discussion involved Himmler taking control from the fellow who actually was Hitler's number two guy. It was known as the Night of the Long Knives. And the purpose behind it was so that they consolidate all power behind Hitler and that there would be no internal competition because they had already gotten rid of the external competition. And I think if you go back to those 30s, early 30s and compare that to what's going on with Trump right now. And I know that this could be viewed as being incendiary, and I'm not trying to be, but I do believe that when you look at Trump from the lens of a fascist and the methods in which he and his people, because it's not just him, it's the people who are financing him, it's his staffers, yes, it's that whole circle around him. They are trying to concoct something comparable to the Third Reich. And that's the shocking thing. People don't want to accept that. They don't want to believe it. It's kind of like there were so many who didn't want to believe what the Germans were going to do with the Russians and the Italians, at least the Russians from at the beginning. Indeed, they went ahead and executed their plan while everybody just kind of watched and said, only Churchill and Roosevelt and a handful of others, de Gaulle eventually, could see we were all going down the wrong path. And we right now are going to have all the cards on the table come to 2024. And this isn't just with the president, it's with the Congress as well. And
yes,
yet if we aren't all going to get our act together right now, it's going to take a mighty long time to get us back to where we need to be. Right now, Trump has made it clear not only that he wants to take control, but that he sees all of us little people as worthless creatures. He calls our veterans as being essentially stupid and gullible in sacrificing their last full measure for our country. He actually had the balls to say that in Arlington National Cemetery. He has said, with the whole COVID thing, he could have stopped COVID right from get-go. He didn't do it. He and his people, I think, really believe that there could be negative outcomes for the people, especially in blue states, that if they lost a few 100,000, if they lost a million, oh, well, you know, it kind of backfired. But the point is that I think his people are so callous and so reprehensible, they're prepared to go to any length to take it all, take us all out. And they will not have one moment of anxiety or stress about it. They'll just say, well, you know, they weren't strong enough to survive.
Yeah.
So in any event, I don't mean to belabor it, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to be speaking so loud, but it's very upsetting to everyone, I think. And we have to start pushing back. You know, Edward R. Murrow said, the danger, dear Brutus, is not in the stars, it's in us.
Yes.
And he was right.
Yes.
I mean, he was quoting Shakespeare, but Shakespeare knew it as well. Which
yes.
An idea of how long, you know, and we all have to start stepping up to the plate. This isn't about Trump. We're giving Trump power. Every time we have to talk about how we get people to not only to the polls, but engaged and taking their civil responsibility seriously. That's why I admire your network. I admire civic media very much, because you all have developed a communication of a fourth estate system in Wisconsin that's so desperately needed across the nation right now. And so to communicate with people like myself, our family, who take what's going on in Wisconsin very seriously. When Mr. Kruth this afternoon advised that the Democrats lost an assembly seat by 30 votes, about 30 votes, because 30 voters didn't show up to the polls. Are you like kidding me?
Yeah, it hurts, doesn't it?
I was flabbergasted when I heard that.
Yes. Thank you so much, Pat. You don't ever have to apologize for caring and getting fired up about it. The apologies are owed by those that don't. It's why I put CJ on the air. It's why I put conservatives on the air. Because you're calling. You care. Let's talk about it. And while incendiary, Pat's reference to fascism and authoritarianism is apt. There is no fascist, there is no authoritarian who doesn't have as a precondition to establishing that power precisely what we're talking about right now. It may have a fancy name, but do not mistake its effect. Its effect is oppression. Its effect is to rob the vast majority of us of our voice. It is to allow unbridled and unchecked power. That is the problem. Because power corrupts so perfectly, and it requires us to be able to have discussions where we do draw from history. So I applaud the comparisons. We must look starkly at those facts and hold ourselves to account. No more than the fate of our democracy lies in the balance. My friend Mark from the SAC, you're up, my friend. What say you this fine afternoon?
Yeah, thank you so much. And we all have to be students of history. You know, even before American history, I mean, you can... that the executive is always that is supposed to be a, I think, how to say this, that answerable to the law. I mean, Charles I of England was beheaded on because he, in the perception of the Parliament of the time, he did not listen to the law because he was supposed to be held accountable to the law. As in this country right here, we have the Constitution, and the Constitution is clear on certain things. This whole fake electors thing, their most recent defense, well, just in case, you know, we get these electors, you know, thrown out, this is how we're going to do it. The 14th Amendment, Section 2, as I've said before, clearly lays out it's the voters as electors select the electors, and that's who is supposed to be the electors going to the Electoral College. You know, I think the Electoral College is a bad idea. It's outdated at this point. It should be national popular vote, but that's the way it is. And these guys trying to use that as a defense is beyond the pale. And they hate, you know, Joe Biden. They said, well, he's being arbitrary, and he's using the Justice Department as a cudgel to go against his enemies. Well, they're fortunate what they're doing. They're fortunate that Joe Biden is not of that bent, because if he was of that bent, all these guys' asses would be in jail already, and yep. either executed summarily or in a deep dark cell someplace, you know, wondering how they got stuck in the cell of Little Ease, copied from the Tower of London. I mean, that these guys forget that our country was founded on liberty. I mean, it meant something at the time. I mean, I saw in that, I'm going far afield now, but in communist China now, apparently the premier of China, the Communist Party of China, is rewriting the New Testament. And in the scene where Jesus forgives the adulteress, they're saying that Jesus is the one who throws the first stone. I mean, Mike Gallagher wrote an editorial, a column on that. I thought when I read that, who wrote that? And I said, Mike Gallagher, well, what you're proposing, a lot of what you're proposing right here is a, you know, putting the church in charge of the state, and that that's exactly what Madison and Jefferson, even though they approached the thing from different angles, they're afraid of that. Madison didn't want the government telling the church what to do, and Jefferson didn't want the church telling the government what to do. So we have our separation of church and state, and for organizations like the Heritage Foundation, which we see a path to power in this, I mean, it's got to be something visceral in me must have been activated, because I can remember being distrustful of the fundamentalist religions back when I was in high school.
Yes, I hear you, Mark. I'm going to hop in just because we've got a lot to cover this afternoon. So let's bring these three ideas that callers have just touched upon together, which we have been talking about and I have been talking about on this show, and that folks that host shows on this network have been talking about. The independent legislature theory, yes, which the Supreme Court just had to smack down. It's not an independent legislature. It's a rogue legislature saying the people don't know who should be president. We do. Coupled with gerrymandering, creating legislative autocracy, coupled with the unitary executive, coupled with the religious infection of our government institutions, including school boards. No offense, if you want to send your kid to public school, you don't get to have it exactly like you like it. Experts who know about education and childhood development should be the ones determining curriculum, not a bunch of religious zealots. You want that? Send your kid to private school or homeschool them. We all know that that's been a huge movement. These things all are echoing each other, and they're all pointing inexorably to one thing. Warning, danger. So I promised you a few bits about how Trump is trying to work this so he can pardon himself. So, of course, deeply rooted in subjugation of the middle class, economic exploitation, fancy things like the independent legislature, the unitary executive theory, and a bunch of lawyers to make it all sound like it's above board. It's not. If it feels like it's broken, it is. So we just need to do a quick little review of some facts. So I'm going to lay out for you the arguments that have happened just within the past month or so related to the national security documents case. Okay. And I'll try to finish this up when we get back. If I don't have time to break down the upcoming Trump indictment, I promise I will do it for you next week. But very briefly, on June 23rd, the DOJ filed, asked for a December trial date. Then on July 10th, Trump and his co-defendant filed separate motions seeking to delay things even further, not just that the trial shouldn't be in December, but they shouldn't even have any preliminary hearings for a while. And I'll explain exactly what that was when we get back. And I'll tell you what happened on Tuesday in Judge Aileen Cannon's courtroom. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is The Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked. We'll be back with more in a moment. Oh, Welcome back. Here's what should be our everything. Facts. Like, do we agree that there's an observable reality? Right? Or have we gone down the Kellyanne Conway alternative facts rabbit hole? Because facts should matter. Maybe I can get CJ to answer that question one day. Like, do facts matter? Maybe not. He hasn't been willing to answer any of my questions lately. So probably not that one either. So quick fact check. Thank you, Anya. It's mostly way far righty conservative outlets that are reporting that China's rewriting the Bible. I don't say this to criticize Mark's point. Mark's point is, hey, the far right outlets are saying this, and they're saying this to scare up a whole bunch of nonsense. And also because the best nonsense has this patina of plausibility, right? That is the best nonsense. The best baloney, the best BS is that which has a patina of plausibility. That's how conspiracy theories work. So I was breaking down Trump's efforts to basically delay the national security case as much as possible so that he can pardon himself, which is also incidentally going to be his tactic in the Trump insurrection coup d'etat case that's probably going to drop next week. The indictment will drop. Now, whether or not it's unsealed immediately or what's going on there, we'll see. But I think ultimately, I don't know if it'll be next week, but in short order, that indictment will get unsealed to some extent and we'll be able to read it. And we will know what witnesses may have been saying what to Jack Smith's grand jury. But the national security documents case. So June 23rd, Jack Smith asked for a December trial. July 10th, Donald Trump responds and says, no way, no how. We can't be ready in time. There's there's like terabytes and terabytes of data from this case. Now, I'm just going to take a little wonk pause here, y'all. Because if you don't know, I used to be a Wall Street lawyer. Please don't send hate mail. I did it because, one, I needed to pay some stuff off. Two, it was the toughest, hardest law and the toughest, hardest environment to practice law in with some of the toughest, smartest people I've ever met. Eventually, I became disillusioned and left. Go use my superpowers for good. But here's what I can tell you. I worked for one of Enron's banks that got sued. Worked for Deutsche Bank. By the way, that's how the Trump family actually ended up doing business with Deutsche Bank. It's because my law firm represented both the Trump Corporation back when Fred was in charge and Deutsche Bank. And so, hey, client needs money. Other clients down the hall. That's how that whole thing happened. Eventually, my firm fired the Trump family. Again, that's a whole nother show. I've done some crazy stuff on you. But here's what I know. Even in the Enron class action litigation, multi-district, terabytes of data, we could get through it. We could meet court deadlines. We got prepared for trial. It's tough, but it can be done. And by the way, the software available now to get through discovery document production is much better than it was 20 years ago when I was doing that. So they basically claim hardship, like, oh, it's so hard. Oh, and by the way, because Donald Trump's running for president, his job's tough right now and he's real busy. And so is his body man, his Diet Coke man. On the same day, also July 10th, his co-defendant also filed a motion for basically an indefinite continuance, not a continuance on the trial, a continuance on a very sort of technical hearing. They call it a SIPA hearing. It's the Classified Information Procedures Act. This was enacted post-Nixon, you're hearing a theme here, post-Nixon, to avoid what was called gray mail. Gray mail is a play on the word blackmail, whereby defendants accused of basically violating national security laws would defend themselves by threatening the government with disclosure of the national security information, hence the term gray mail, and the federal government would have to drop the charges. Now, the Classified Information Procedures Act provides a process by which the government presents that evidence much more early, potentially to the court for review, and they decide who gets to see what and how to proceed in the case. So Trump's co-defendant on July 10th says, we can't have the SEPA conference until, you know, maybe later, because it was scheduled for last week. The SEPA conference is what happened yesterday before Judge Aileen Cannon. She did actually delay it for 4 days, not indefinitely, as Trump's co-defendant requested. So that was interesting. By the way, the government responded to that on the same day. So his co-defendant filed, this is Walt Nauta, filed earlier on July 10th, and the government responded later that very day, basically said, this is stupid. And by the way, his lawyer hasn't even filed the paperwork to get security clearance yet, and it's been 4 weeks since he was indicted. But I just want to bring you up to speed. So Aileen Cannon yesterday had this hearing in her courtroom and basically said, while she thought December was a little aggressive, reporting is that she seemed very highly skeptical of Trump's lawyer's arguments that this needs to be basically postponed until after the election. So watch this space, because it entirely boils down to whether or not Trump faces a jury trial before the November 2024 election. Kind of important. So a little programming note. I have to take tomorrow off because I'm going to a concert. Yes, Miss Anya. But I will be back next Monday. And I promise you, I'm going to walk us all through what I think the charges are going to be in the Trump insurrection case. So put it on your calendar. I'm doing that on Monday. Y'all don't want to miss it. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the show. I appreciate everybody. Take care. Have a good and safe weekend. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.